Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Traina. Hope you had a great Labor Day. Everything now begins. The NFL, college football, vacation is over, summer is over. And I wanted to put together a big show for you for this first podcast after the summer and the week of the NFL season. So two guests. We start things off with Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. And then the legendary Christopher Mad Dog Russo from SiriusXM and the MLB Network comes aboard. Both guests were in studio, so they were much better interviews than if they were on the phone. I think you'll enjoy both. And quick note on the last podcast, Chris Fowler calling the U.S. Open, college football for ESPN, was a great interview. So if you haven't listened to that, dig into the archives and check that out. Subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Helps immensely. Not going to waste any more time. This episode of the SI Media Podcast, Rich Eisen up first, and then Christopher Mad Dog Russo. Here we go. All right, joining me now, perfect guest for the start of the NFL season. He is the host of NFL Game Day on NFL Network at 9 a.m. Also hosts the Rich Eisen Show every day, Monday through Friday, 12 to 3 Eastern on Fox Sports Radio and the Audience Sports Network. Rich Eisen.
How are you, Jimmy?
Thanks so much for coming to the office.
Thank you for having me.
I'll try not to just talk about the Yankees.
You could do whatever
hour.
You want, man.
No, because that'll turn a lot of people off.
As Andy Reid says, the time's yours. The time is yours.
Now, let me start with this. Okay. Forget the important stuff about Andrew Luck. We'll get into it. I want to know how you found out and all that. But when the news broke that he was retiring, mm-hmm. On the Monday after, in my column, I posted a video from your show from 2016 where you interviewed Luck. And as late as 2016, he did not have Netflix, he told you.
It's true.
And he still had the flip phone.
Yes,
we know in 2019 if he still has the... When he announced his retirement, all I wanted to know was, did he ever get a smartphone?
I don't believe...
We need to find this out.
I don't know if he received his own alert.
I don't imagine?
Know. I have been told he has upgraded from... the era of what he referred to himself as a Luddite. I believe he is more up to speed in the world. And, you know, I received an alert on my phone as well because, you know, my show now has a relationship with Bleacher Report. So I'm as locked in as I can with whatever they're up to. And mm-hmm. hopefully they're the same with me and my show. But and I then went to Schefter's Twitter account to see if it
Make
was.
Because
sure I've been hosed before by one of the fake ones, you know. And
Adnan Schefter, one of my favorites.
There's just, it's.
I love fake Twitter accounts. You know, I know everyone gets all pissed off about it. I love
them.
Well,
I mean,
love
you know,
when
you're
fooled.
I know when you retweet it and you feel like an idiot, but at any rate, it was real. I was at dinner with my wife and three kids. My wife and I, with my two oldest boys, back from a summer camp experience where they were tablet and screen free. My wife and I have made a decision. You know, we need to be off our phones a little bit, but when you get an alert that Andrew Luck is retired, and then my Twitter, my texts blow up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we have a game day morning chain that me and Mooch and Irv and Kurt and producers are all on, and that starts going back and forth, and Kurt's like, no way, and all that stuff. You've seen it. And then, you know, I put the phone down and then pick it up about 40, 50 minutes later, and I see video that Luck's on the sideline of a game that's happening right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, this is odd. You know, did he not, is he really going to retire? What's happening here? And it became apparent, as we all know, that Adam got a tip, and it definitely threw a total monkey wrench into whatever plans the Luck and the Colts had to stage this thing. And it led to people booing. And now that's, of course, led to the backlash of Adam being at fault. And,
which is
nuts to me.
Yeah.
Nuts.
I'm glad you brought that up. Obviously, I think we're a little biased just because we're in the business, although, you know, I don't want to insult Adam Schefter by saying, like, I'm in the same business as him, but we're all in sports media here, and I was actually, the entire thing surprised me from the standpoint of, and I wrote this in my column also, when I saw the news, I saw it old school, ESPN scroll while watching Miami, Florida.
That's old school.
Old school. And I thought to myself, okay, here's a guy who's obviously had some injury, you know, a lot of injuries, and he decided to retire and, you know, not deal with that. I had no idea that the retirement would be this controversial and analyze, you know, how about every individual, when they want to retire from whatever job they have, is allowed to retire without, like, the constant analysis. It's crazy. And then the spinoff from that was, should Adam Schefter have broke the news?
Which is nuts.
Crazy.
I broke the news of Mark McGwire retiring years and years and years and years ago. I shouldn't say those many.
Was that
years.
A SportsCenter deal?
It was. Mm. It was. And it was announced. I got it. And we announced it halftime of a Sunday night football game that ESPN had at the time. That's how old it was.
Yeah.
And to this day, whenever I run into Tony La Russa, he reminds me of how upset he was because the Cardinals didn't know. They were blindsided by this news. They wanted to, when McGwire retired, have a huge press conference. As you know, Mark McGwire had his own reasons for not wanting to be in front of 150 to 200 members of the media asking him questions.
Yeah.
And I was more than happy, as somebody who was probably 4 years into my national TV career, to break that news.
Yeah.
And I also didn't know who else had it. So Adam's supposed to sit there and say, okay, you know what I'm going to do? Andrew's a good guy. If I send this out right now, this blows up the plan of him having a Sunday press conference, even though that was part of his report, is there was going to be a press conference Sunday.
Right.
And, you know, the fans are going to boo him. Honestly, who would have thought that that would have been a visceral reaction from the fans to boo Andrew Luck off of the Lucas Oil Field, even though, again, and this is the other thing too, that I think the time between now and the retirement has borne out, that the reason why it's controversial is not just because the booing occurred, that's subsequent to it, it's because when it occurred, that he decided 2 weeks before the season begins, I'm done.
Right.
Not taking into account whatever medical report he had just received or what long road of rehab that was clearly in front of him that wouldn't have been in front of him in August or July, early August or July or May, because the injury wasn't what it was on the day of his retirement.
Right.
And if there's any team, now, of course, no fan is going to take this long-term view in the first blush shocking reaction of the report that Luck was retiring at age 29, a few weeks shy of his 30th birthday. But any team that's ready to absorb this, it's the Colts. Their line is stellar. Top three, if not number one in the NFL. They have some serious weaponry from T.Y. Hilton to Mac. They signed Devin Funchess for a year. They really do have – they've got two terrific tight ends. They are ready to roll offensively, defensively, thanks to the Jets sending every second-round pick in the world to the Colts over the last 2 years. The Colts have drafted very well. They're ready to go. Yeah. And Brissett was already rumored to be – a guy who, after sitting one more year behind Luck, would be the next guy that would try and leave to get a gig.
Yeah.
He's now got a gig with a staff that is coached by the ultimate backup quarterback,
right,
who was the backup quarterback of note, as we all know, and also the backup coach for the team, and also the offensive coordinator of the backup quarterback that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Right.
They're fully equipped to handle this. And I think they will handle it well.
And the one thing about the, you know, one thing about the booing, obviously I'm assuming the booing was just for the overall, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and assume it was for just basically they feel like, the fans felt like, you know, this is setting the franchise back now, blah, blah, blah. But
they also saw him chuckling on the sidelines because he was having a great time one right. last time with his teammates. Those were two visuals that they couldn't compute,
right.
I would imagine.
But here's what I would say to those. Those fans have no idea how many games he would have played this. He could have played 3-4 games this season. The guy's completely banged up.
Correct. That's right.
I mean, he could actually, in the long run, I mean, he's doing the franchise a favor. Get Brissett in there. Let the guy learn. Let the guy play. Let him get his experience. Let him show. Because if Andrew Luck plays, his ankle is supposedly all messed up. So if he goes in there, plays week one, gets sacked, who knows what happens. The chance of Andrew Luck playing 16 games this season were extremely slim. So for those, you know, but again, if you're a fan who's there at the last second of a preseason game, you're probably not. You don't have all your mental capabilities anyway.
Hey, look, I'm in the deep end of the media pool. By that I mean the things that I do most often. You mentioned at the top of our conversation, Sunday morning football shows. That is to me the most competitive sports television pool that there is.
You must be looking at my notes because I have Crowded Field as my top note.
I'm not looking at your notes.
I wanted to ask you you stand out in the Crowded Field.
I will get to that
NFL
in a second.
Pregame
shows. As you know, in terms of NFL pregame shows, there are many choices. It's a very deep pool, and it's a lot. Everyone wants to win. It's very competitive. Yeah. That's number one. Number two, it's my 12-3 Eastern time slot on Sports Talk Radio. I am on at the same time as some considerable hot takers, might be known as, and people who, when I do review their work later on, wonder how in the world do they wake up and their brain is wired that way to come to work to say that thing that they're happy to say into a microphone and then have retweeted millions of times. I just, my brain doesn't work that way. So I am happy to say I go on my show and say stuff like, you know what? Some fans, not all fans, booed right. Andrew Luck.
Right.
I can kind of understand why some would do it. If in retrospect they still feel that they're right, they should check themselves.
Right.
And let's hope. And I know this is not a hot take. It's not shared. It's not like, man, did you hear what he had to say? Let's share it. I hope that we will view Andrew Luck's early retirement not through the prism of what's wrong with him, but what is incredibly courageous about all the quarterbacks who are getting their asses beaten
right.
every single week.
Absolutely.
Cam Newton leaps to mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If Cam had retired out of the blue like this, first of all, Carolina would be in a much more difficult spot. They're not ready to absorb it. Two, I think people would be less understanding because it's Cam, because there's so much about him that is supposedly controversial.
Right.
And three, it would be totally understandable. I mean, this guy was in a walking boot coming out of a friggin' preseason game just
right.
2 weeks before, and it looks like he's going to play week one. The amount of rehab that these quarterbacks must be going yep. through.
Shots that they take.
Oh, my God. Or yeah. Mr. Needle, as Dion right. refers to it on NFL Network.
Yeah.
I mean, Dr. Needle, Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah.
You know, it is really remarkable. And hopefully we can, moving forward, appreciate the guys who are still doing it
yeah.
and just know what must be going through their body or their minds or what they go through to play every week.
I also wonder if that handful of fans would have booed had they seen the press conference after that game where I thought it was one of the more genuine and fascinating press conferences. If you saw it live on that Saturday night, I don't know how you can question anything about Andrew Luck's decision. And here's the funny thing about that. The fans don't know. I don't think they, you know, this is a very in-your-face thing. He's retiring 2 weeks before the season. It's over. Do you know, I mean, I've had NFL players tell me how they sort of will, I don't want to use the word fake, but let's say exaggerate an injury so they could get out of training camp for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's
nuts.
That didn't happen. Hearing the same thing with Antonio Brown's helmet that he did right. To specifically avoid training camp. And look, that's the thing about this Andrew Luck thing is it's on so many levels, from the football level and then the societal level and then the way that we consume news level,
right.
That the way we consume news now is in the palm of our hand, although the old school way is looking at a bottom line scroll, that we are now, many people probably think, because of how quickly we consume things and how easy it is to consume it, that the Luck press conference, fans who booed Luck were fully well aware of what Luck was thinking,
right.
And still booed him anyway. You could totally just make it a big mishmash, even though you could say that I'm excusing behavior. I don't. I think that fans may be in the moment, visceral reaction. It's unfortunate. I think that they should check themselves if they still feel that way.
Yeah.
Now,
We'll get back to some quick football things, but I do want to talk to you overall about your job. I did mention the pregame show.
Yes.
And like you said, NFL pregame show are in abundance. You guys come on the air at like, what, 3 a.m. or something yeah. Now?
Well, we get to work right around then. It's on the West Coast.
How do you stand out? If you had to make your pitch, why should people watch the NFL Network NFL game day pregame
morning.
Show?
Yeah. First of all, we've been together the longest. So that's number one out of anybody.
Longer than the Fox?
I mean, that. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. I mean, Strahan joined, what, just a few years ago?
Right.
I mean, our team has been together. I have done 10 years of NFL Game Day Morning now. This is my 10th year. Every year is with Mariucci. Every year has been with Irvin. And Kurt joined us, I think, maybe about 7 years ago. So we can literally finish each other's sentences. The fun that you see on the air is genuine. It's exactly what it is like on a ride to a game with the four of us in a car. It is unfiltered. Irv, you never know what's going to be said. Mooch can go on any sort of Chris Farley-like, arms waving fun rant. Yeah. Our producers are amazing. They sit around for days in their work area, coming up with new and inventive ways. Some of them work, others don't, but we try it to entertain as well as inform. Our reporters are the best, and we're everywhere, and we have the access because we're the NFL Network. You put it all together, and I think we're easily the best out there. Obviously, I'm not watching the competitors as closely as I used to because I'm on the air against them. We're on the air the longest. We're most comprehensive. And like I said, Mooch, I've got a picture of Mooch reading Green Eggs and Ham to my two boys who are now 11 and 8. They had both pacifiers in their mouths. Michael Irvin spoke at my daughter's baby naming and was at my wedding because my wife, Susie, spending many years working with Irv with Fox Sports, she knew Michael before I did.
Yeah.
Through her work as a broadcaster, and Kurt is just somebody who I love, and we all get along, and I think that it comes through the TV set.
I have to assume the answer is no because it's the NFL's network, but for my own edification, will there be any gambling talk on your pregame show?
I don't know. Actually, it's being discussed. I have no idea the answer to that.
But I mean, look, soon. I mean, about a week.
Look, man, the NFL, I'm sure, of course, is doing the analytics of sports gambling and revenue streams and what it's worth and what it's not. I would proffer to say, believe it or not, that the NFL still would make more money from its television partnerships than wetting their beak a little bit percentage wise with whatever legal sports gambling is coast to coast.
Right.
So it still wouldn't be the largest revenue stream that the NFL brings in. But it's already being discussed. I mean, my God, the draft is in Vegas next year. A team's going to Vegas. There will be 8 regular season games in Las Vegas every year. So that's the way the world's going. I have no idea if we're going to, you know, come out and say, hey, it's minus 3.5. But you will see on our show, we have something called a, like a, I forget what the hell that it is, but you put 60 seconds on the clock and I ask the guys a quick question, they have to give an answer, and it'll be, hey, Cam Newton has thrown for 250 yards in the last 8 games. Does he have more or less?
Right.
You know, hey, the Rams have won their last 3 games on the road by 7 or more points. What about today? And Jimmy, you're a smart guy. You know, I mean, you know what we're saying out there.
That's how Brent and Jimmy the Greek used to do it back in the day. With, you know,
before they beat the crap out of
each other. That, you know, I think the Giants will beat the Eagles by 4 points, and that's their way of not mentioning
it. Yeah, you know, and then, you know, back in the day, Berman with his 2-minute drill that we always joke was 2 minutes plus 5 minutes.
Right, right.
But he would always say, hey, I take the Bills to win. And the arrow would be against next to the opponent,
right,
you know?
Right.
So there were always these ways. Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Let me ask you about your radio show.
Sure.
Well, radio/TV show, because I've always said this. I've said this on this podcast. I think you and Dan Patrick must have the best bookers in the business, because what I like about both of your shows is you have great guests outside of the sports world.
Thanks.
Not going to lie, I was extremely jealous when I saw you had Brian Austin Green a couple of weeks ago.
He was amazing.
I see that. Yeah. And I have total respect for the guests you have on the show. Like I said, I think you and DP do the best with that. But give me a tip here on hosting this podcast. How do you interview someone you don't want to interview?
is this one of those situations? Well, because you're doing a great job of making it seem like you wanted to have me here.
So far, I've avoided that, and I feel like I'm not going to be able to avoid it for too long.
Right.
And I'm very lucky. I've said this a million times. SI leaves me alone. They let me do what I want. So, like,
right.
I turn down people that I probably shouldn't have, because I don't want to interview them.
All right. So here's my tip: is that talk about the stuff you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Seriously. And find out whatever the guest, their DNA, whether it's pop culture DNA, sports DNA, has to do with you, and the two of you will make a connection. And look, people are listening to this podcast because they like you. And you're
sure
the host.
That.
No, I'm serious, Jimmy.
But I will see you have a guest on.
What do you? Hold on a second. Do you think how much of your listenership do you think is the those Deitch fans who just stick around.
I think
he was your big lead-in. Richard Deitch was your lead-in,
right.
Jimmy.
I think most people...
I mean, how many Deitch fans are you think in that Venn diagram, the Traina Deitch fan
base? I think most people come for the guest and to hear about sports
but
media.
But they also are maybe the guest does... Look, I'm saying this, especially since, and I've gone on this sort of jag on my show recently, especially since... The Oscars and now the Emmys have gone without a host.
Right.
And I think that is an absolute abomination.
Right.
We hosts are integral members of the communication society.
Right.
We are not fungible. We're not like, you don't need somebody because we could just have somebody being introduced by some voice of God saying, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage.
Yeah.
No. You need hosts. Hosts are important. Hosts are crucial. Hosts can kill a show. Hosts can enhance a show. Hosts can make one.
Right.
You are a host of this show, and people are listening to you. The reason why I bring this up is if you have a guest you're not interested in talking to, you need to talk about the stuff that interests you because fans are listening to you, and thus you bringing out what you like can bring out something in the guest you thought wasn't there.
Right.
How does that sound?
And how do you feel? Because what'll happen is I'll get pitched a guest, for instance.
Yes.
And it's a guest who like basically does every show. Like they'll do your show, they'll do DP, they'll do, you know, the ESPN car wash. Then like I get them and I'm just like, at that point, what's the point? Do you ever think that, or do you only worry about the Rich Eisen show and you're not worried about what other people do?
Yeah. I mean, what else can I do? I mean, it's not like I'm Ellen DeGeneres and I demand that I need at least a week of exclusivity before and after the guests appear. I don't have that sort of footprint.
I guess my ego is a little big on
you know,
that one.
I many times I'm on after Dan.
Right.
And Dan will have the guest in his show before mine.
Right.
There are times when I book him or her after Dan already has had, after Fritz has, you know, swung the stick. And Dan does a lot of his own booking, too.
Right.
I mean, Dan's Rolodex, as you might imagine, is deep and playable.
Yeah.
And so, and there are times when I'll have a guest booked and then Fritz or Dan books that guest after I've already had it booked.
Right.
And, you know, where we are at the audience group and whatever radio stations I do have Dan on before me, we're a team.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and think, oh man, you know, there goes my exclusive. Now, maybe whatever newsmaking thing that is reported, like for instance, Kyler Murray, when he had the sort of meltdown at the Super Bowl, I interviewed him before Dan. Dan aired it before he aired mine because he's on before me.
Okay.
And a ton of people were picking up what Kyler Murray said to Dan as opposed to what he said to me. And the reason why I'm bringing this up to you is for 5 seconds, you sit there and go, oh, man. But Dan Patrick is also somebody that I've known for 25 years. My show doesn't exist, quite simply, if not for him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of a give and take on that regard. In terms of booking, you know, there's many times where I've got to pick up a phone.
Right.
We have two folks. My sports booking is primarily done by a guy named Ben Nygaard, who lives out here. You may know Ben, because he pretty much knows anybody who can fog up a mirror in the New York metropolitan area. And then Central Talent Booking does the celebrity. And they also do Kimmel Show. And and Liz Wailed heads that up for my group. And she's awesome. I mean, I'm very lucky.
Have you ever had one of those bad experiences like Dan had with Matt Harvey when he came on?
You've Lamar Odom came on the other day. And it was just... Literally within 60 seconds, I felt like a dentist.
Yeah, yeah.
Without any Novocaine.
Right.
You know, but these things happen. And, you know, I had Roddy Piper on, and he said something.
That was right before he passed,
stuff,
right?
And then he died literally 5 days later.
5 days. That was that soon, yeah.
I mean, these things are all part of what we would, our talk show lore. When you have a guest on who says something crazy or does something nuts and... But, you know, my show turns 5 in October. We're 5 years old, which is unbelievable. And I appreciate you saying, you know, I know you want to get to one more thing, but, you know, I appreciate you saying that, you know, guests like Brian Austin Green is something that you appreciate.
Oh, yeah.
Because it took a really long time for me to get to that point on my show, which I wanted to get to the minute I started.
Right, right.
Because that's, to me, I would rather talk to Brian Austin Green about the reboot of 90210, what happened on the set back in the day, about his relationship with his wife as much as he wants to,
right.
or his on-air relationship with
Tori Spelling,
Lala and, Anthony, yeah, who is plays his wife on the reboot.
Right.
I'd rather do that than say, hey, Florida Miami's kicking off the season in 3 days.
Right.
Let's get into that, you know? I would rather do the pop culture. That is the way I always want my show to be. And because the spine of my show, certainly when it was born, is sports talk radio. And just to go back to the deep end of the pool that I'm in, if you're in a sports talk, if you're a sports talk radio program director, and I'm talking to Brian Austin Green for 10 minutes, and you know that the competitor has somebody on who's hot taking about Baker, or having something on, you know, with you know, somebody who's calling into the show, talking to the host about something that the host just did and was awesome. You know, I mean, it's tough to compete.
Yeah.
If I am in a spot where sports talk radio is the primary method of entertainment, I'm trying to go in a different direction through a sports talk radio format. And for a while, it took a really, really long time to get to where I'm fortunate to be right now.
Well, and listen, I've beat this drum since I started Hot Clicks back in 07 here at SI. And now even with people who are sports fans like pop culture, there's no harm in mixing
Jimmy,
it.
The biggest export we have as a nation, potentially, pop culture is the Super Bowl, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And in terms, it's definitely the biggest sporting event that we can send out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
We stop it midway through for a rock concert. And the only way we bat an eyelash is if the music's off.
Right.
Nobody's like, why are we stopping huge football game that makes history and legends?
And there have been many games where the halftime show, I think the Madonna one was where...
Well, Prince.
Madonna and Prince both had more viewers for their halftime show.
Well, Prince was that...
Than the game.
Prince was Bears Colts,
right.
Which was great when Hester ran back the opening kickoff. And then after that, it was Peyton Manning flipping to Dominique Rhodes because that's what the Bears cover 2 gave him.
Right.
And then the Colts won the game.
Right. And then it rained while Prince was singing
poured.
Purple Rain, which was pretty great.
I want,
you have to go, but let's do very rapid fire. Just give me a quick answer.
As long
that.
As it's not word association.
No,
I
no,
can't
no,
do
not,
word
no,
association.
No. I'm going to ask you a question. Just give me a very quick answer. We'll
you
do
got
all
it.
NFL. All
right, bud.
Browns, how many wins?
What's the number? I don't even know what the number is.
I think it's 9.5. 9 or 9.5, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
I still have to do my research.
I think they should be good.
Playoffs,
I just don't know how Freddie Kitchens is going to manage a game.
Right.
I don't know how he's going to do that.
Playoffs, yes or no?
I'm just going to still say no.
Wow.
I'm still going to say no.
Going against America's
darlings.
Well,
I'm going New England. I like the Ravens to win that division again. I think I'm the only one who believes the Ravens are going to go back-to-back. I'm very high on Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
I still think the Colts or the Jaguars are going to win the South. I'm going to take the Chiefs. I think the Chargers are too damn good to miss the playoffs. So how many spots do you got left here? You know?
All right.
And I think the Steelers are going to be good enough to make it again.
That was one of my questions. Let me ask you this. The new rule with the coach's challenge on pass interference.
Yes.
Debacle, or will it work out okay?
How about in between?
Okay, that's...
There will be debacle moments where you think there was a clear defensive pass interference. Why are they even challenging it? It comes back where that's reversed. It's really offensive pass interference. There'll be a moment where it's defensive pass interference. It's no question it's defensive pass interference. They're going to throw a challenge flag that it was also offensive pass interference. They're going to go under the hood and come back and say, you know what? It was offsetting penalties. You're going to see stuff like challenging 12 men on the field. Let's go 12 men on the field because, you know, Aaron Rodgers did his usual thing. Guy didn't get off the field, but the coach of the team that the guy didn't get off the field is saying, you know what? He got off the field. Aaron Rodgers, however, in the play, just threw it up because why not? It's a free play.
Right.
Comes down. They're going to come back and say, guy was off the field. However, it was defensive pass interference down the field. So instead of it being a 5-yard freebie, now, thanks to you, coach, to try and challenge the guy getting off the field, it's a spot foul. It's now a 50-yard penalty against your team.
Right.
This is the sort of stuff that nobody wanted this rule to be put into place. We just wanted something like the NFC Championship game to be closed up.
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens on those. NFL opening day 2020.
Yes, sir.
Is Tom Brady the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots?
Absolutely.
I
didn't stutter.
In week one of this season,
yes,
is Ezekiel Elliott the starting running back for the Cowboys?
On my show, I have a wonderful man from the state of New Jersey named Mike Del Tufo, who is my sound man. He likes to be called the audio executive. he only wears material that is free. Everything on him has been given to him, except his cargo shorts that he wears until we retire them in the rafters of our show. But don't keep there because it's very unsightly. I said that if Zeke Elliott was a healthy man on the planet and did not start week one for the Cowboys, I would eat his hat.
Okay.
I am genuinely concerned I am eating a hat.
Yeah.
That Jerry's going to take this thing into the season. I have no idea. It all depends on when Jerry thinks midnight strikes. Does midnight strike for week one against the Giants because he needs that game at home? Can't lose a home division game to the Giants to kick things off. And they'll just go to Washington and try and beat Washington with literally one hand tied behind his offense's back? Or does midnight strike 2 weeks in,
right,
where he's just like, screw it, I went 0-2 with Emmett and won the damn Super Bowl, let's do it again. I don't know.
All right, last one, and it's not an NFL question. It's going to be ridiculous, but I need your take. So I know you're a big Curb fan like me.
Yes, sir.
You've had Larry David on your show, which...
Yes.
I bow down to you for that.
Yes.
I had James Andrew Miller on this podcast,
yes,
2 weeks ago, and he said that the Curb will be back January 2020.
Okay.
It's coming soon. And we got into a discussion. I'm not going to ask you to get into politics, but I said, I wonder if Larry's going to go there with politics because it's obviously been the number one issue,
yes,
in this country.
Yes.
And I felt like the argument can be made people want to break from politics. I could see Larry having some story with, you know, getting in a fight with someone with a Make America Great Again hat. I could see him having some confrontation with, I don't know, Kellyanne Conway. Would, as a Curb diehard fan, would you want to see that or would you want him to stay away from that?
Well, Jimmy, I'm going to tell you something here that might be viewed as spiking the football.
Okay.
But one of the greatest perks of living in Los Angeles that I have been able to have bestowed upon me, literally one of my most favorite things, which is why I can't get too detailed here, because
right,
it is like Fight Club, is I met years ago Jeff Schaefer, who is one of the executive producers of Curb, right, and director and writer, and he goes back to the Seinfeld days with Larry. I met Jeff. He introduced me to Larry, and I have now for five seasons been in the edit bay.
Really?
Where the show is essentially finished out of the oven, but they want to show it to, because so much of it is ad-libbed.
Right.
They want to show it to fresh eyes to see if the narrative makes sense, what's funny, what's
Can
not.
Can you bring me one time? I'll fly
Jimmy,
out.
Jimmy, I've Please. Got to tell you, it is truly, and I have been in the edit bay
for this coming season
several times.
Wow.
I will tell you this.
This is the most impressive thing any guest
Jimmy,
has ever told me.
I
don't want to know anything.
I will
no
tell you this.
No spoilers.
I will tell. This is all I will tell,
okay,
you. Well, I can't give you spoilers,
right,
because I don't want to.
They want the privilege.
They want nothing out. Like,
right,
I can't even confirm or deny if James Andrew Miller's start date announcement is true or not.
Okay.
Like, literally can't do any of that, even though I do know the truth.
Yeah.
Okay. It is. You know, the one.
I can't wait to finish taping so I can get all the information.
Okay. Here's the one drawback of all of this.
Right.
Is the first 5 minutes of the first time you sit in there, because what if it is no good anymore?
Right. Right.
What if it is possibly a shark jumping situation?
Right.
That they've gone on too long and they've lost any part of their fastball.
Is Larry there when you're in the
Larry is not only
okay.
there, he has a yellow legal pad on his
oh,
knee
shit.
With all sorts of notes and questions.
So are you nervous?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean,
okay.
this, no.
Well, like you said, though,
Larry is, yeah. he is as warm and chill and cool as
right.
you want him to be.
But like you said,
and
if it's not striking you as funny.
What do you do?
Right. Right.
And when it's the lights come on and they ask you about like what happened.
Yeah.
It is so friggin' good.
This coming
oh,
season.
Oh God.
Okay. Okay.
There's even one episode.
How much have you seen so far?
About five.
Oh my God, you lucky son of a bitch.
And it kills me when, hey, we're doing another screening on this day and I have to say I can't make it.
Yeah, that's got to be rough.
Because I figure, like, am I letting Larry down here? I mean, like, what am I?
Yeah.
It is, there's one episode that is truly top five. And I will tell you this, okay, I will tell you this story, even though it sounds like I'm name dropping. And if it is, so be it.
Name drop.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I turned 50 this year.
Okay.
I told this story on my show, so it's not a problem telling here. I turned 50 this year. And, you know, I invited Larry, and I've known Jeff Garland forever. He's been on my show. He's one of my favorite people on the planet.
Hysterical if you can ever see him do stand-up. Okay. I saw Caroline's. Go see him.
JB Smoove. I sent out to a whole bunch of people I've gotten to meet through this whole thing. JB, as you know, has been my Rich Eisen Show Super Bowl media correspondent 4 years running.
Right.
So JB couldn't make it, but Larry and Jeff Garland did. So we set up in my kitchen, because we had it in my house. In my kitchen, there was a buffet. Okay? So there were two parts to the buffet. To your right, on the countertop of the kitchen countertop, were all the salads.
I hope this is going where I think it's
going.
To the
left, to the left, okay, to the left was all the meats and pasta cooked by a guy named Dom, who's got a, I mean, you go to the Beverly Hills Cheese Shop to meet Dom. And the reason why I give a plug here, Dom's from Staten Island,
okay,
where I'm from.
Right.
So we
so
go,
it's going to be good.
And it's not like we go way back. It's just one of those kismet things where you meet in Los Angeles a guy from Staten Island who could cook his ass off. It's amazing.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, so you have to snake around. You got to go down the salad and then turn around and come back. So you got to make a reverse U, okay, to go get this stuff. So I'm standing at the salad. And about two people behind me is Larry, and walking up to me to say hello for the first time, fresh off a plane from Asia, is Steve Tisch, the owner of one of the owners of the Giants.
Giants, right? Yep.
He comes up to start talking to me. And Steve Tisch, by the way, had a cameo in the old diner on Seinfeld back in the day. So he and Larry have known each other for a while. He comes up and starts talking to me. And as he talks to me, grabs a plate.
Oh, the chat and cut.
And Larry David screams, "Really? Like, are you doing the chat and cut?
A real life
in
chat
front
cut.
Of me?
That's so like, great. That's called so great.
The number of people who are in the area waiting for food that came up to me later saying that that was the greatest moment of their lives
the party
is watching Larry call somebody on a chat and cut.
Now, when he did it, was he doing it as like, like he was trying to make a joke about his show, or was it a literal?
He was literally
pissed off about the chat and cut.
Here's the beautiful thing: we don't know.
That's so great.
But and then he asked, as long as this is out there,
right?
He says, I don't want any of the salad. Can I just go over there and get what I want? Can I, if I'm getting the chat and cut, can I just cut to go exactly where I want food?
So great.
And I'm like, it's my part, Larry, that be my guest. And he goes, all right then. And he just walked over and he cut the line
to
get the food he wanted. And it was like the greatest birthday gift I could get.
That's great.
So, all I'm saying, so it is one episode is a top five.
All right.
Like of all time.
All right.
Like
all
that you're gonna
January.
You're going to watch that one and you're going to text me. You're going to go, that's the one you were talking
about. I'm looking forward to that. Like I
cannot confirm or deny when it is.
Right.
But.
Well, hopefully James Andrew Miller. I think January 2020 is perfect. Football, you know, you just have the playoffs then, so it's easy to, you know. I don't want it during the football season. Sunday Night Football, we can't have that. HBO should push it to after.
I can confirm or deny nothing except that it's as good as ever.
All right. Well, I can confirm that I appreciate you coming in
anytime,
to do this. And enjoy the NFL season.
You got
it. It's finally here. Sunday mornings, NFL game day morning on the NFL Network, 9 a.m., first one on
Eastern
the air.
Eastern time, yes, sir.
And then the Rich Eisen Show, Monday through Friday, 12 to 3,
That's
Audience
it.
Network, and Fox Sports Radio. Rich, thanks.
You got it, brother.
All right, take care. All right. I'm going to try not to be a fanboy. Just do a good interview here.
Hello, Jimmy.
It's like a home and home. I went to Sirius last year. This year, you come to the SI office. Thank you.
You got it anytime.
To the great Christopher Mad Dog Russo. How are you?
Jimmy, nice to see you, pal.
Good to see
you. How
you
doing? Glad you put me in that top 100 list you did a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, God.
I would have been annoyed if you did.
There we go.
You did, thank God.
Oh, my God.
You didn't rank them, though.
That was the point of it. It was supposed to be a gag, and people, you know.
You need to rank that. But anyway, how you doing?
No, I'm not going to rank it. Things are great. Let me just say right off the top, Dog runs the Mad Dog Sports Radio channel on SiriusXM. Of course, he does his show, Mad Dog Unleashed, Monday through Fridays, 3 to 6, SiriusXM. And, of course, High Heat, MLB Network. Usually at 1, sometimes at 12, depending on if there's a game or whatever.
Correct, yes. On. No game today, 1 o'clock. Go ahead.
You love that MLB Network gig, don't you?
It's such a great place to work. They make it easy for you. They did that, built the studio there at SiriusXM, right. So there's no big-time commuting from Secaucus in the city. And they essentially let me do what I want to do. Perfect example would be, you know, a couple weeks ago with the whole thing with Verlander. That came down about 12:45. I went on at 1 o'clock and I killed the Astros and killed Verlander. Right. Baseball let me do it. So, for the most part, they give me, most of the time, editorial control.
Right. That's what I was going to say. You know, the beauty of SiriusXM is you can pretty much say whatever you want.
That's the great part about it.
Now, right. Do you ever get a little note maybe from MLB about...
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are certain topics that you got to be careful about.
Steroids?
No, not steroids. Okay. No issues with the steroids.
The commissioner?
Manfred is very cool. Not a lot.
I'll give you one.
Occasionally you get something.
I'll give you one where you went nuts because I know I posted the videos and they got a lot of reaction. And you're 100% right. Baseball could put up a stink, but the start times of the postseason games are
way too late.
Not a joke. They're offensive. It's offensive.
All the sports are like this.
Baseball's
NBA,
bad.
NBA does it too. You know, 11 o'clock games.
Those games at least are 2.5 hours.
That's true.
You have MLB games, I mean, at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, they had two of them last year. You had that Brewers game with the Dodgers, which ended late, you know, that 14-inning game, and then you had the game with the World Series in Game 3. The problem that you have, as you said, with baseball is that even if the NBA game starts late, which it does,
right,
you know that the game is going to end, generally speaking, within a 2.5 hour, 3 hour window.
Right.
And baseball, the way it is, you got to get to 27 outs. You always that opportunity that it might last 5-6 hours.
Right.
So if you play a 5-6 hour game and it started at 8:30 at night, you're dead. So sometimes they're caught between a rock and a hard place.
Do
but
they,
for
but,
the most part, they let me say what I want to say.
All right, they don't care. It was something I was going to say now.
Not all the time.
Right,
most part.
Right. There was something I wanted to say about the schedule. I forgot, but it doesn't matter. Here's what I want to. I want to talk to you a little bit about radio, then we'll get into some other specific topics. But the business of radio now is really interesting in this day and age where the technology has changed, the medium has changed. We're at a point now, people under 30 have never read a newspaper.
It's hard to believe. I still buy them every day.
I have cousins who are in their mid-20s. They don't know what a newspaper is.
I agree.
It's crazy. Do you think that's going to become a problem for sports talk radio now with the advent of podcasts? I'm talking about the 18... When you were at FAN 20 years ago, you probably had 18, 19, 20-year-old kids always coming up to you, Chris, how do I get in radio? Does that happen now?
It's a little different, as you said. They hear the sports talk in snippets. And that is where, for instance, for our place, you know, they may not listen, you know, minute by minute, hour by hour. But what they do hear is clips.
Right.
So, for instance, you know, let's say I just bring it up from a couple of weeks ago, we did Djokovic. So they may not hear that live, but if you put a 2 or 3 minute clip of it up on the internet,
right,
whatever you use, SoundCloud.
Yes.
If you put that, that's what you listen to a lot.
Yeah.
If you get that up, that is what they listen to. So sports talk has become, and radio specifically, unless the diehards are out there, have almost become, they catch it in dosages.
Yeah.
They don't hear the whole thing.
Right.
20 years ago, they listened from 1 to 6:30. They don't probably do that any longer. So that's where sports talk and radio has changed. They hear a little, and that is why I do a lot of things that, you know, I go out there and I do the pizza guy, you know?
I go out there and I'll do you. I
do a lot of those things because I know they may not be listening to SiriusXM 3 hours a day or 4 hours a day.
Right.
So you need to stay relevant and get out there and do other things. And you didn't have to do that 25, 30 years ago.
Nobody has an attention span anymore.
I think you hit it right in the head. They're not trained to put, now when they're in their car, I mean, you know, they might look at their phone, but the radio might be on.
Yeah.
And you know the way Sirius works with the app, there's no way you can't hear us if you want to.
Right.
But as far as the options and the intention span, it's much quicker, makes it harder.
Now the flip side, which is a benefit, which is one of the things I benefit from with SiriusXM, is that you can listen to your show at any time. So what I do is I usually leave here 5:30, and when I leave, I fire up the app and I rewind all the way back to 3 o'clock. and I'll be able to listen to you.
And you can cherry pick, and right, if you don't want to hear a guest, you can get right off it.
There was nothing like that in your FAN
days.
Oh,
definitely not. Right. Yeah, it's a good point. You had to sort of you had to wade your way through it if you didn't want to hear something.
Right.
Now you can almost, it's almost like a highlight show.
Right, right.
You can pick with what you want to hear. You know, you definitely get the sense when you're doing these shows, they pick up they hear it on the overnight driving in.
Yeah.
They pick it up on the app. There are different, I don't look at it any differently. I just go in there and do a show.
Right.
And I let the people in charge put what they want to put out.
Right.
But so I can't look at it that I'm doing is almost like a highlight show. 5 minutes here, 5 minutes on this, 5 minutes on that. I do a show like I've always done it. And I hope that there are things out there that guys like Jimmy Traynor want to listen to.
Right. Now, one of the themes you've been on lately, which I find fascinating being in this business, is you have ranted, and I think it's correct in a way, and I think it's more complex, that about the athlete doesn't need you and doesn't need sports talk radio. You were frustrated about not getting guests. I think you went to Washington that you couldn't
get Bryce Harper.
Right. And your theory is that because of social media,
right,
the athlete doesn't need to go and do interviews.
100%.
How?
That hurts us.
When this is you just realizing this now, and how is it affecting you on like your day to day? And I mean, you just said you had Djokovic at the U.S. Open.
Well,
that
was fortunate. You know, the timing worked out properly. Good mood. We were right in front of him. It wasn't on a phone. I mean, you know, that was just one of those ones that worked well. But normally, most of your guests, if you're doing a sports talk every day, most of your guests are either going to be with executives, maybe a coach once in a while, and, you know, broadcasters and writers.
Right.
The day of me getting, you know, now MLB is a little different because sometimes you do the World Series shows, you do the All-Star Game shows. You know, I had Arenado on at the All-Star Game. I had Alonso on at the, that's a little different because, you know, it's a stream for the sport. It's a way that they can connect with the fan base. We're right in the stadium. But on the radio specifically, me calling up, let's say, you know, the Chargers to get Phil Rivers on,
right,
you may have been able to pull that off 15, 20 years ago. Chargers playing the Giants to give you 10 minutes on a Wednesday afternoon. Those days are over.
Right.
You got no chance.
Right.
So, I mean, whether the player doesn't want to do it, he's got other things that he can do to get his message out. He can do something via his own Twitter account. He can do something via the team. So it makes it a lot harder to do those kind of spots.
Right.
And I can't remember the last time, you know, I had a current quarterback on is a perfect example. That's
right.
A guy you'd love to talk to. 30 of them, they're all good. 32 of them. I can't remember the last time I've had a quarterback on live, you know, 5:05 on a Friday afternoon.
Right, right.
It's hard. So you have to basically, you got to change your tact a little bit,
right,
as a host.
But I found, and I could be totally, this is just my experience, the most athletes, especially we're talking the A-list athlete, they're not giving you anything anyway most of the time.
They're not giving
Found it's the B and C-list athlete who are more interesting, are funnier, have more to say.
I think there's some truth to that. I think there is some cachet of putting on the big athlete, even though he may not say anything.
Right.
Wow, he had Aaron Rodgers on. Wow, he had Bryce Harper on. Wow, he had Aaron Judge on. Wow,
right,
he had so-and-so. Had Kawhi Leonard on. I do think there is some cachet for the hosts themselves and the network that you work on.
That's true.
Wow, look at that. He had, that's right, a great spot.
Right.
But I do understand from a listener's perspective, you're better off getting the seventh guy on the off the bench than getting a star, because the star is doing it on a cell phone.
Robotic.
It's 6 minutes. He wants out.
Right.
While the guy off the bench might have some fun with it.
Right.
And if the guy has some fun with it, it would be a better interview.
Right.
There is
Plus, if you get the A-list guy, they usually plug in something, too.
Oh, that's right. And, you know, there are times that you have to, at the Super Bowl,
right,
you have to go out there and you have to understand that to get that kind of guy on, you're going to have to spend 5 minutes talking about what he's got.
Those shows are unlistenable. I'm saying every...
They're tough shows.
It's unbelievable.
It's
amazing. The same athlete goes on 50 shows hawking the same product.
Listen, the Friday before the Super Bowl this year, on that Friday,
yeah,
we had that day... Now, I had to tape some of it, but the Friday before the Super Bowl this year with Rams and Patriots, we had Jim Brown, Gibbs, and Clark Hunt. Those are three good guests.
Not bad.
Hunt's going to do a good job. Chiefs,
right,
they had
right
lost the AFC Championship game.
Right.
Jim Brown's Jim Brown.
No Belichick, though.
No Belichick. No, you're not going to get him.
He's
you're not going to get him.
Yeah.
A lot of the guests getting guests on, and a lot of that as a host is personal relationships.
Yeah, sure.
This was not the case 15, 20 years ago.
Okay.
Now I might be able to get some people on because I have a relationship with them. Not because they want to do it,
right.
Not because it's serious, not because they, you know, want to go out there and tell the fan base, you know, why they did this in a 20-minute interview. They do it, and it's Chris. He's done me a I got to give Chris a
right.
I gotta
throw like Chris you doing up. This.
But I like to perform.
Right, right.
And
right.
This is a performance thing.
Right.
I like to be heard.
Right.
A lot of the guys who do the, they don't care.
Right.
I do care.
Right.
So to me, it's an ego thing. Plus, you and I are friends anyway.
Right.
And it almost warms me up for the other things I have to do today. But the other people that if I wanted to call somebody, I get Jeff Van Gundy on all the time.
Right.
Why is Jeff Van Gundy
well,
come on?
You've known him probably 50
because
years.
Because Jeff basically. Van Gundy throws me a bone.
Right.
You know what? He's Chris. Right. I got to come on.
Right.
So
right.
There is a lot of that now as a host that used to not be the case when Mike and I did this for 20 years.
Right. Speaking of Mike in 20 years, what year are you in now doing radio? Do you know? What are you in? 40, I mean, 40, are we at 40 years?
You're talking about FAN or you're talking about
your whole
about,
career,
New York?
Jacksonville, everything, your whole career. What year is this now?
I started doing radio first time was on St. Patty's weekend, first weekend in March maybe? Second weekend in March in 1983.
83.
So that's 36 years.
That's 36 years.
Wow.
And one of the things that has stuck in your craw lately, which is a travesty and just an absolute
disgrace, the Hall of Fame
nonsense? Is the Radio Hall of Fame. Now, let me just say a couple of things here. Now, I'm as you know...
I don't need a pat on the back, but go ahead. I'm not going to get you not to say it anyway.
Well, no, let me say a few things here. As a Howard disciple, which I am...
He's been good to me about this.
All right. Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing. Howard had it right all along. Who cares about the Radio Hall of Fame? It's a joke, the way it's done, blah, blah. You know, when Howard has to not get in the Hall of Fame for all these years, when he's the greatest radio performer, how much credit? To me, it's almost like all these Hall of Fames now. None of them have any credibility. I mean, Barry Bonds is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. You might as well just burn the place down.
Well, that's steroids. As a
reason. I don't care what it is. He's the best player I've ever seen. He should be in steroids.
He wasn't
or not.
Before steroids, though, Jimmy.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
You don't think he was a great player?
Great player.
Great player.
He wasn't an immortal.
I don't know about that.
No, he was not an immortal.
All right.
It's 70 homers after the steroids.
Well, whatever.
Never hit 50 beforehand.
Here's my fight back. Every player in that era did the steroids. So why didn't everyone hit 70 homers? Because he was the best. Every player from that era did steroids.
You can use that. You could use that point if you wish. Right. Okay.
So the Hall of Fame. So the Radio Hall of Fame is anyway. 36 years. Everyone. It's fact. You and Mike, greatest tandem show of all time. You go on to Sirius. You have this career now, blossoming at Sirius. You're running the stations. Everything. And you're not in the Hall of Fame. Now, you've made a good joke of it on the air, and people have to pay to get in and look at these. Ryan Seacrest is in the Radio Hall of Fame. Ryan freaking Seacrest, and Chris Russo is not. Give me the truth. Scale of 1 to 100. I'll make it a big scale. How much does it bother you?
It bothered me a lot more last year because Mike got in.
Right. And how do you put one in and not the other?
So it bothered me more last year. Now, I happened to be in Peoria the day that they had the gala. I was doing something for Charlie Steiner at Bradley University.
Right.
So I was there for 2 days. It was almost good that I was there. So it bothered me a little bit last year. This year, I didn't even know about it. Eddie Erickson, my producer, hands me the press release, 5:15. I said, what is this? And so I've been able to almost make it a gag.
Eddie causing trouble.
Eddie's causing trouble. And I almost get more out of it now than I would have if I did get in.
Right.
Because I get Howard involved. He talks about it. So as a result, it adds some juice to it. But I did do, and I usually don't do this, and you're a listener. I did do basically a resume segment.
I heard.
At 5:15, was about 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I did a resume segment on hold on now. This, I did 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 this. I mean, come on. So part of me, there's probably a little part of me that still bothers me. More so, though, last year.
But it shouldn't even be a question of your resume. The resume speaks for itself. I would imagine it's a political thing.
You know, maybe they don't like SiriusXM, but they put a SiriusXM guy in this year in Joe Madison.
Right.
So, I mean, who's on that Urban channel.
Right.
So, I mean,
Yeah, but you and Mike were on FAN for 19 years together. That alone should get you in. And he's in.
Right, last year. That's why it bothered me a little bit more.
Right.
Now, remember, 3 years ago, we were on the ballot where they had the fans vote. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And we finished second to Michael Savage.
Oh, God.
So Savage got in.
Oh, my God.
And Mike and I finished second.
It also shows you the spectrum of sports.
You can't have the fans,
radio.
Though. You can't have the fans vote.
Right,
you can't.
Right.
You got to have if fans don't vote for the Baseball Hall of Fame, you can't have the fans vote for who's in the Hall of Fame.
I'm going to ask you a tough question. When Mike got in last year, did you text him to congratulate him or call him to congratulate him?
You know, it's a very weird situation, and I didn't.
Right.
But it's a weird spot because I don't want to. He knows that it's probably stupid. So do I want to have him in a situation have to respond to me and say, Chris, this is a joke that you're not in?
Right.
So because of that, and that is the reason, because of that, I said, geez, if I text Mike and he's and it, because of Mike and the Mad Dog, and I text Mike to congratulate him, and I'm not in, he puts him in a weird spot that he has to explain how this is possible.
Right.
So because of that, I did not.
Right. I know a lot of people listening to this right now who follow me on Twitter and are listening want to hear about Mike. I don't want to do a ton on Mike because, listen, it's over, done with. You guys were together. You're at SiriusXM. You have a new contract, I believe.
4 years.
Right. So I'll just ask you this. There was a little period there a couple of years ago, a year, I don't know, two years ago, where you guys were doing a lot of stuff together. The fans were, I would say, sort of hoping and wishing and thinking maybe something would happen temporarily, whatever it was, once a week.
Part-time. Right.
And then it didn't happen. Can you just, is there any reason why it didn't happen?
Well, I mean, I thought because of the 30 for 30, which they did a good, very good job with. I thought, you know, we did the Radio City Music Hall thing.
Right.
So there was a period there about two and a half years ago, even a little less than that, because Mike came on MLB Network on the day before opening day last year, 2018. So there was about a year period there where we spent some time together. You know, we did a thing for Bill Madden about Steinbrenner and his book, which was going to be a Broadway play. Went to the MLB Network. We did that panel for the 30 for 30.
Right.
I went on Mike's last show when he left December 15th. You know, I called in. He came on Sirius at the Super Bowl. So there was a period there. We spent a lot of time together. So I thought there was a way that they would, you know, both sides, not me,
right,
Sirius and Mike would come to some sort of maybe once a week,
right,
do a Friday show. And, you know, Sirius and I, with Mike, we put together some, you know, meetings that the two of them had. I was out of the meetings, but the two of them had. So there seemed to be some interest. And then, you know, this is before Mike officially retired.
Right.
This would be the fall of 2017. So there seemed to be some interest there. Mike retired. I don't know, you know. I also did the Mike tribute show out there at CW Post. So there was a lot of things I did.
Right.
And Mike retired, and I thought there was a situation where maybe once the dust settled, get through those first couple of months, that Mike would figure out something to do with Sirius. And for whatever the reason, those two did not connect.
Right.
Mike goes back to FAN, you know, surprised all of us. What was that?
Well,
May of last year?
I wouldn't say.
I was surprised.
I wasn't.
You were not?
No.
I was surprised. Anyway, he goes back to, and then I had to answer the people who call up, Chris, what do you think about?
Right,
and I basically said, geez, I'm really surprised Mike did that.
Right.
And I think that caused a little rupture.
Just because you said you were surprised?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I kind of, maybe I hinted that it was a little, I wouldn't have done that, you know. So I questioned it.
Right, okay.
And so, lightly, but I questioned it. And I think that caused probably a little disharmony between the two of us. So we haven't spoken in a year, year and a half.
Right.
So that had a lot to do with this too. But there was a period there where I thought there'd be some sort of, maybe a reconnect. Just
any
12 days a year.
Any reason why it didn't?
I don't have the answer for you.
Okay, fair enough.
Because I was not involved in those. I set up the meetings because I knew Mike and I knew the Sirius people.
Right.
They had two or three of them. I set them up, but I did not know the end. I did not speak to Mike. You know, he has to negotiate a deal. So I did not speak to Mike and how that worked out. But I did think for a while that could happen.
Do you feel like no matter what happens, whether you ever speak again, never speak again, speak at a Super Bowl in a couple,
we'll speak
the
again.
Two of you will always be connected.
Absolutely. And we'll speak
no matter
again.
What.
I could cure cancer. Nothing is going to top the Mike and the Mad, at least in New York.
Right.
Nothing is going to top the Mike and the Mad Dog 19-year run. We will speak again. But we have had an issue we haven't for a while.
Now, you've done, when you left FAN, you went to SiriusXM. The whole time you've been at SiriusXM, it's a lot of years now. You've always been solo. Did you ever once? Now listen, I don't know how you and Mike do it in terms of when you have the greatest partnership to ever bring in another thing. You know, it's always going to be compared to, but doing I mean, you started a series. I think you were doing 5 hours a day. Now you're at 3 hours solo is still, I don't think
not
people,
as hard.
If they're not in the, but it's not a partner, always someone just to go back and forth with. I know you guys bring in producers. Did you ever think ever it's serious? Like maybe
no,
I
didn't. Yeah. I was not going to bring a partner in.
But even now, even do you have days?
No, okay. And if I have a partner situation, I'll let Steve Torrey right. be the guy, right. And he'll be the fire hydrant, as Raceman likes to say, because I love the guy. So he will be the guy from that standpoint. Right. Where you know, with the two updates that he does, the 5 hours, Jimmy, you're right. There's probably a period there where you could have used a little help, you know, because that's a long show. It was a lot of trial and experimentation there of how I was going to get through those 5 hours. It took me about 6 to 8 months to figure out what I had to do to make it, you know, good radio every day.
Yeah.
Now I know I'm going to have some slow periods in the course of the year, but I have the Sims once a week. He's an hour with the football. I do Peter King. You know, we do the Kings, right. The Steve Phillipses and people like that. So as a result of that, I almost use those as my partners when I need to have a partner.
Well, you have Brent on again this
yes.
year? Okay, good. Brent and Dog do picks at 5 of 5.
I hate the fact he does the Raiders because it interrupts with the flows. He's got to travel sometimes.
I got to make fun of you for one thing, though. So that segment is my...
I love
if
it.
If there's one thing I got to listen to every week is that
really?
Segment.
Oh, no my,
I love it. But here's what I love about it. Brent will go 1-3 1 week. He'll go 2-3 the next week. His record will be, 4-9, right? And then he'll break down a game for about 10 minutes, and you go, Brett, you do a great job with these. his record's 4-9.
That's
I love
a good
it.
Point, Jimmy.
I love it.
He has, the first couple of times, he struggled a little bit with it the first time or two.
Yeah,
he said, Brent, open up, and he's been great with it.
It's a great segment.
Oh, he's very, very good. Yeah. It's got to be a quick segment. It's at 5:30 on Friday.
Yeah.
I think we have the football, we do Danielson on the Mondays.
Right.
We do King on the Tuesdays. I do my buddy Ira Kaufman on Wednesdays.
Yep.
We obviously have Brent and Sims on Fridays. I do think we have the full, we do plenty of the baseball.
I got to say, I'll kiss your ass even a little more. I when you started the Ira segment, I'm a New Yorker, so I'm like, I like that segment a lot now. I look forward to it.
He's
every
been on
week.
A lot.
It's a good segment.
Yeah, I love Ira, and I tell you, it's important to him.
Yeah.
He loves to do it. Yeah. So the fall is easy,
right.
To make a long story
right.
short. The fall is easy.
I'm going to a couple of quick topics here outside of radio. And you mentioned the fall football starting. How does it feel to be the only man in America who doesn't like Tony Romo?
I know.
What is wrong with you?
It's not a question of not liking
what
him.
What is wrong with you?
Is that CBS is jammed. Do I need to see Tony Romo hit the ball off a cart path at Pebble Beach?
Well, the guy thinks he's a professional golfer.
He's not.
He's in these tournaments.
He's
doing
good, but he's not a professional golfer. He's a mid-70s golfer. He's a 75-76 golfer against a great player. He's not a professional
golfer. But that has nothing to do with him calling the game on Sunday.
He calls the plays before the... He's gotten a little better at it, but he...
CBS shut him up.
Thank God. I mean,
but
he predicts the plays.
But then he did it in the Chiefs playoff Patriots game. He called every play.
Don't take the suspense out. Let me enjoy the play as it develops coming after the play.
It's not a whodunit movie. It's a football game. If he says, Brady's going to look to Gronk here on the top left.
Let me see it develop. It's like a guy making an NFL, telling us who's going to take with the draft. You guys are crazy.
You're crazy.
Romo.
Romo's the best.
The social media, these 25-year-olds who've never heard of Al DeRogatis.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Or Summerall
Romo.
Brookshire.
He's going to get $8 million a year from CBS.
He sure
take
is.
That.
He's going to get paid. That's
for
sure. Social media loves him.
The only person in America who knocks Romo. I love it.
Well, I don't knock him, but I think he's a little overrated.
Now,
jeez.
I think you're going to agree with me on this because I've heard you say, to me, the most unwatchable thing on all of sports television, well, besides the stupid shows with the hot take guys, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball is an impossible. Now, for two reasons. One,
A-Rod.
They don't show the game. I just want to watch. First of all, the only people who are watching that are the fans of the two teams playing. Baseball's a localized sport. I don't need to see the A-Rod show for 3 hours. Can I see the game, please? And then there's just no. I mean, the booth is just.
It's a very weird booth. Occasionally on Sunday night, the Yankees, Dodgers, they'll have some juice. But I've been making a lot of fun. You know, the Jennifer Lopez in the booth.
Well,
we celebrated her 65th birthday. You know, they showed us with the dancing.
Right.
Did you see that?
I did during
a ball game. I got to see A-Rod dance with his wife.
I did
65.
A thing.
That's ridiculous.
Now listen, I did a thing in my column, which I know you don't read the internet, so you don't see it. I did a thing recounting all the times ESPN has used J-Lo in the booth on something.
It's 30 times?
It's unbelievable. Oh, here she is in the monster seats at Fenway Park.
I saw that. Yeah.
A Dodger
game. With the birthday cake, without even have A-Rod's name on it, on the birthday cake.
Right, and nobody ate it.
And the media ate it, for crying out loud. Oh, my gosh. It does drive you crazy.
Why does ESPN think America cares about it? America does not care about Alex Rodriguez.
It's 100% right. That's the ESPN way. They think they've caught something. You know, he can connect with the athletes, and he's not that good.
Right.
A-Rod's not a great broadcaster.
No, he says a lot of weird things.
He's not great. Yeah. So you're right. That's an excellent point. Vizgersian's in a tough spot there. Who's a good blade, who's a good broadcaster,
yeah.
He's in a tough spot. Tough situation. You're right. For some reason, they think the world is dying to hear what A-Rod has to say,
right.
And the baseball fan does not care what A-Rod has to say.
Now, here's one I'll give you that's sort of the opposite of the Romo situation, where you're off on an island by yourself. Well, you're off on an island by yourself on this one, but I like it. There seems to be this thing where even if you think she's wrong, which she is, if you're a member of the media, you can't criticize Serena.
Now, you,
on the other hand, have bludgeoned Serena Williams.
Yeah,
rightfully so. Because for people that defend her behavior, to me, is off the charts. And then you get into the whole thing, she's a woman, she's it.
Nonsense.
Listen, if a man behaved like that, he'd get ripped to shreds, too.
Yeah. Well, listen, 30 years ago, McEnroe, Nastassi, and Connors did this, but you can't compare this to 1980 when the social norms were different than they are today.
But again, this is a woman who told a line judge she was going to take the effing ball and shove it down her effing throat. And she can't be criticized for that?
And she was completely wrong last year.
Well, last year was crazy.
Completely wrong. And she's a great player. And, you know, they enable her. ESPN does. She was on. I was surprised she did it because of the Don Van Natta documentary.
Right.
And, you know, which Serena versus the chair ump, which was anti-Serena to a certain degree.
Right.
And I heard that she was not going to even talk to ESPN during these 2 weeks. And she did go to the set the other night after her first round win. But how does somebody on that set, and Renee Stubbs didn't ask her on the court, did not at least broach it? And I understand you got to do it lightly, but broach it. Serena, the last time we saw you on center court, we all know what happened in the U.S. Open final. The next match you play on center court is at night against Sharapova. You know, the next time you came to the U.S. Open and you're playing in the same court, what was going through your mind? There is a way that you have to incorporate her last visit to Arthur Ashe Stadium when she plays her first round match. And nobody at ESPN or on the court had the guts to say that.
They're going
to
tell you that was last year, this is this
year. Nonsense. It's the first match that she played. It's a big story.
Right.
If it was the fifth match, you can let it go. Not the first match.
Right.
Not the first match. But they don't want to ask her that
right.
because Serena's going to be annoyed. She's not going to give you a good answer, and she's not going to work and help ESPN out.
Right.
But as a reporter or as a broadcaster, that question has to be asked.
Right. Here's the thing. There are casual tennis fans, not the diehard like you, casual tennis fans, who will watch now and pay closer attention to see if she has another blow-up.
Absolutely right.
There's no doubt.
Absolutely right. And most of the people who went nuts last year and supported Serena with Ramos, the chair umpire, and women's rights and gender issues and motherhood, they're not tennis fans.
Right.
Because they're not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch Serena play at the Australian Open final, which you and I are.
Right.
They're not
I don't know about
it.
Me, but...
Which I am.
U.S. Open, yes. Australian 4 a.m., I might not.
I am.
Right.
I watch her play all the time.
I
support the sport.
There's no bigger tennis fan than you.
And the people who comment on her behavior last year in a favorable light, they don't watch the sport.
Right.
So that bothers me to a certain degree.
Right. Last thing here. So one of the things I always say when I talk about why I like you and your show is that we live in a time now where so much of the sports talk is contrived, planned out.
No calls.
People have meetings with producers. You say this, you say this, you take this side. And I've always said, no matter what you say about Mike and the Mad Dog, and even together and separate, what they say is authentic. Obviously, you know how to say things to get a reaction, but I don't think you say anything you don't believe.
Correct.
Give me right now the top thing that's pissing off Chris Russo in the world. It doesn't even have to be sports. If you wanted to rant right now on something, any topic.
That's a good question. Well, obviously, Luck has got me bothered because everybody's running to his side, and I like Luck as much as anybody else does, but the timing was terrible. That's getting a little old. So let's lay off that for a minute. What's the one thing in sports? Okay, I'll give you something. The love, and I'm an NBA fan going back to 1968.
Right.
The love of the NBA.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you brought this up.
The idea that the NBA is this incredible league and everything else. First off, the NBA plays 82 regular season games, and more than 50% of the teams make the playoffs.
Okay. Right.
The Major League Baseball, 30% make the playoffs.
Right.
The NBA playoff structure is very predictable.
Right.
They should not be playing seven-game series in the first round. I don't need to see the Pistons play the Bucks, okay? I don't need to see that, which we did last year. So the playoff system takes for absolute ever to
it
play.
Does, yeah.
You got four rounds of best of sevens.
Right.
Baseball's playoff system is 3 weeks.
Right.
3 weeks.
Right.
It starts October 2nd. It's over October 29th. 3.5 weeks. The NBA playoff system starts on April 20th and ends on June 20th. That is absurd. And the idea that these players, the 10 of them out there, LeBron and Anthony Davis, Kawhi and Paul George, Durant and
Kyrie
Irving. Butler, the idea that 7 or 8 players control the sport, and the fact that ESPN drills the NBA down your throat drives me absolutely crazy.
Well, you know they do that because they air it. It's that simple.
It drives you crazy.
Now, see, here's the thing about this. This is where, and I love when you...
And half the guys who talk about the NBA, including guys on my channel.
Poor Nick Wright. Bully Nick Wright every day.
Nick Wright.
You bully that poor man.
He never heard of Bob Cousy.
Okay, right? But here's...
Evan Cohen
right.
has never heard of Elvin Hayes.
Okay.
That's what bothers me.
Now, but here's what... See, here, and this is what I... This is it. I love that you give that take. And I know you have that take because you are not on the internet. I can tell you this. I write a column every day. Not once a week, not once every 2 weeks. Every day, Monday through Friday. Every day I have to write. And I know, this is what I can tell you. I write about the NBA. My traffic's up here. I write about MLB. My traffic's down here.
That's a problem.
So I get what Nick Wright is doing. You shouldn't pick on him so much.
But I love Nick. But remember, the internet is for younger fans.
Right. Well, that's
the 40-year-old right. person does not look at the internet. It's the younger fan base. My kids, or maybe 50. Whatever the age, you get, there is a limit.
My dad, 75. That's about who doesn't look at the internet.
Well, I don't.
Right, right. But your kid, how old are your kids now?
I have the two that would be apropos here look at the internet. My Colin at 17 looks at it all the time.
Right.
Levin listens to Howard on it. And my oldest is 20.
20 and 17. Right. 20
they
and 17.
And
this is their whole life.
That's the whole
phone
life.
In front of the face.
Whole life.
Right.
And the internet traffic, that's a good argument.
Right.
But let me ask you a question.
Right.
Why would anybody sit there on a January night and watch Golden State last couple years play the Hawks?
Well, I would say this. There's two things I would
no
say.
No reason.
That. Well, no, that's not true.
Game means nothing.
You can enjoy watching Steph Curry.
How do I know he's going to play the game? They sit him out 20 games a year.
Well, what's the point watching the Yankees play the Royals in the middle of August?
You can make that point, too.
But
at least the Yankees and the Royals, in theory, there is something on the line. Because of the fact there might be two teams in a pennant race. There's only 30% of the teams that make the playoffs.
You tell me.
We know Golden State's going to play in the NBA. Why in the Durant era, why would anybody focus in on the 82 regular season?
I hate playing this game because I feel like this is like the Trump game with politics. When someone bashes Trump, they go, Obama did this or Hillary did that. But I'm going to play the game now with you. How many times did the Yankees play the Orioles this season? About 50?
Can't watch
it. It was 1 minute 19. Of any of those games watchable.
No, can't. 17-2 was the season series.
Right.
You're right. Baseball's got
I'm a diehard Yankee fan. Diehard. I couldn't watch the games.
I understand that. Baseball's got these issues, too. They play 162 games, probably too many. The American League East, the American League West, the NL West, those races were over on June 1st.
Right.
And you'd be wasting your time.
Right. Every sport's
in
that.
Two wrongs don't make a
fair.
Right. You explain. I guarantee you right now, you can tell me who are the 3 or 4 teams next year that can win a championship in the NBA. Probably you'd say you have to put one team in the East, take one.
Maybe the Nets.
No, they.
Durant's not playing next year. That's I keep forgetting that he's not playing
Philly
next year.
Maybe Philly or Milwaukee. Right. I'll give you one.
Right.
And a couple in the
NBA. I don't
think
the Warriors are dead without.
They're not winning a championship. They're not winning a championship. I mean, you know, you might say the Clippers. You know, maybe you think about Lakers with LeBron and Davis. The point is, the NBA is very predictable. And let me ask you a question. Is there ever an upset in the postseason in the NBA? Ever? Does eight ever beat one? Never.
Well, once it happened, yeah, twice or whatever. Twice. The Nuggets.
Has wild card teams in baseball won a World Series?
Yes. But here's what I would say to you, though. And this, I get into this argument with my buddy Salicata, I think, who you love.
Who I love.
Yes.
And condolences.
You're into it strictly for the game from start to finish. The NBA is a whole entertainment vehicle.
I'm into this, the competitive nature of the sport. You're into the personalities outside the game.
You're not watching LeBron on Instagram talk about Taco Tuesday.
I could care less.
Right, exactly.
I could care. That's where I show my age. Right.
Now I'm going to go write my column when you leave. If I make my first item, here's LeBron's video celebrating Taco Tuesday, or I put, here's Aaron Judge's. Did you see his home run last night to the black?
I hit a big one.
A million page views to 100 page views. That's all I'm saying. So leave Nick Wright alone.
I do love that. And it's the same way. But the sports fan, the sports talk media guy today, newspaper, radio people, they don't know sports prior to their childhood.
Right.
Evan Cohen's in his mid-30s. He wouldn't know anything about sports prior to 1980. Anything, which is disturbing.
Right. But do you think you're biased the other way, where you're not giving the athlete today as much credit as they deserve because you're hung up on the old school?
No, I still love – I mean, I guess you could argue about Trout because I sometimes give him a hard time with DiMaggio.
Right. You're only comparing him to DiMaggio.
That's who the current baseball guy compares him to.
Well, I'm with you on the current baseball stuff with the war and the I'm not – that's not me. I can't be bothered.
I mean, can Trout go out there and do something that DiMaggio did?
Do you think Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to have to say so.
I know you love his dad.
Oh yeah, I know. He's fun. And I love Brady too. A lot of me, I know I had major issues with the Deflategate and all that nonsense. And I love Belichick,
right?
Because you know what I love? I love greatness. You know that.
Yes.
And Brady and Belichick, that combination.
I'm with you.
I love that greatness.
I'm with you.
Would never know it. They don't listen. So, but I, as a sports fan, appreciate that.
Right. All right, we got to wrap up. You have high heat.
I love you.
I thank you for coming in.
Anytime for you.
We got to get you on the internet. You got to read my column. Get me on the show. Let's, you know.
Call Eddie Erickson. Bring it up for me.
Eddie. Poor Eddie gets abused. Poorly produced.
He does.
All right. My thanks to the great Christopher Mad Dog Russo, Mad Dog Sports Radio channel on SiriusXM, Mad Dog Unleashed, Mondays through Friday, 3 to 6 Eastern. High Heat MLB Network, usually 1 o'clock Eastern, sometimes noon Eastern. And thanks, Chris.
You got it.
All right. All right, my thanks to Rich Eisen and Chris Russo for doing the interviews and coming to the SI office to record both. Enjoy talking to both of them immensely. If you enjoyed this podcast and you're not a subscriber, please hit the subscribe button, rate it, review it, dig into the archives. Chris Fowler from ESPN was a great guest on the last podcast that I did. And appreciate you guys listening again. Please, please, please subscribe, rate, and review. We'll see you next time right here on the SI Media Podcast. Take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
tired of pickup truck bed chaos? Meet Decked, game-changing USA-made full bed-length drawers for tools and gear. Waterproof, dustproof, lockable, secure. Whether you're working, hunting, fishing, camping, or just getting out of town. And introducing Decked Deco Cases. Tough, modular, problem-solving cases built for the truck, job site, campsite, or garage. Say goodbye to random bins and tie-downs. Order now at Decked.com/iHeart for free shipping. Decked, your truck, your rules. Decked.com/iHeart.